Shas Illuminated presents the following shiur by Rabbi Avraham Shur. Maseches Beitza has been dedicated by Mr. and Mrs. Yossi Friedman, Leila Nishmas, Menachem Ben Yosef, and Tzina Devorah Bas Yechiel.
Be'ah Dav Zayin. The Gemara and Dav Vav Mabez brought down the memra of Rav Huna Amar Rav that Be'ah Im Yitziyasa Nigmara. And the Gemara tries to figure out what does it mean Im Yitziyasa as it leaves the Tarnagoilus, that's when it's Nigmara. So the Gemara on the bottom of Dav Vav Mabez suggested that Im Yitziyasa Nigmara means that only when the egg leaves the chicken, that's when it is capable of being Megadelis Efroichim. If a person shechts a chicken and finds eggs inside, those eggs will be incapable of producing an Efroich. The Gemara says, what's the nafgamina? Why is it important to know this halacha? What din is that going to change? The Gemara says, la'inyin mekech u'memker, that if a person made a deal with his friend that he's going to sell him eggs that could produce chicks, and then he goes and gives him eggs that were not laid by the chick, rather they were found inside a shchuta, then it's considered a mekach tois, and the mekach is bottle. Like the Gemara brings down a maisa that a certain person said, be'e de pachya de leman, who can sell me eggs that were born from a chicken, and instead they gave him be'e de shchuta. Also, the kamei de Reb Ami passing that it's a mekach tois, and the whole mekach is bottles. The Gemara says, pshita. It's obvious. The Gemara says, "Ma'ud teima ha'ila achilu kaboyluhu." Really, this person who was asking for eggs that came out of the chicken, as opposed to eggs that came from a shchuta, wasn't because he was looking for eggs that could produce chicks. He really wanted to buy eggs for achila. But the reason why he wanted eggs dafka that were laid by a chicken is because those are better eggs for achila also. Ha'idikamar pachim shum detzrivan. Tzrivan means that mavushali is called tzarkin, as Rashi explains. They are completely finished. And if that was his real intention, then the mekach would not be bottle. What would you have to do? You would have to give him the difference in price between the price for eggs that are mevushala, is called tzarkin, and eggs that are not. So you see from here that if a person wants certain produce, and he made up with his friend that he's going to give him that produce. So if what he gave him was an entirely different item, such as in the case where the person's intention was a beitzim that could produce an afrayach, and what the person gave him instead was just some edible eggs, but not ones that could produce chicks, then it's a mekach tois. But if what he wanted was superior edible eggs, and what he gave him were eggs that were slightly less superior, they were inferior to the ones that he wanted, then it's not considered a mekach tois. Now the Trumas Hadeshin in Simin Shinchav Beis discusses a case in which Ruvain says to Shimon, would you be able to sell me some meat? And he specified, I want meat from an ayil mesuros. That's an ayil, a ram that can't reproduce. So its meat is of a better quality. And he said, fine, that was their agreement. And instead, the guy gave him meat from an ayil that was not mesuros. And he writes there that the ayil she'ena mesuros also has meat that has a different type of odor, which is not as pleasant as the other one, in addition to the fact that the meat is simply of a lesser quality. So Ruvain wanted to just be choizer on the mekach. He wanted to be mevatel. He said it's a mekach tois. And Shimon says, don't be mevatel the mekach. I'll just pay you the difference. So the Trumas Hadeshin paskened in Shimon's favor that he cannot be mevatel the mekach. Rather, he just has to pay him the difference. And his raya is from our Gemara. That you see that if what the person wanted was edible eggs and it's just a question of a better quality, then you can't be mevatel the mekach. You just have to pay the difference. And based on this Trumas Hadeshin, there are more paskins that way in Shulchan Aruch and Choshen Mishpat Simon Reish Lamed Gimel. However, this issue is really a machloikis rishonim. The machloikis rishonim that's brought in the Ran in Kedushin Daf Membeis Mabeis. Over there in Kedushin, the Gemara says that kol davar shebemida v'shebemishkel v'shebeminyan, anything that the way that you sell it is through measuring, either by measuring volume or weight, or simply measuring the amount of items that you're selling, then the rule is that afilu pachas mikdeyayna, even if the person overcharge less than a shtus, the amount that is considered ayna. Ayna is that you're not allowed to charge somebody more than the value of something. And the shir ayna is a sixth of the value, which means that generally speaking, if the person overcharges less than a sixth, then we say that the person is moichel the ayna. However, when it's something that the way that it's sold is through mida, mishkel, or minyan, then even pachas b'knei ayna, the mekach is bottle, we say choizer. Says the Ran, That statement of the Gemara, that a davar shebemida v'shebemishkol v'shebeminyan afil pachas b'kdeyeno, we are mevatel lemekach, is only davka kegoin she'i efsher lahashlim, when it's impossible to be mashlim, which means to make up for the amount of merchandise that you still owe the person. So suppose you charged a certain amount for 10 pounds of something, and instead of giving the guy 10 pounds, you gave him 8 pounds. So instead of being mevatel mekach, what you would do is say, here, take the extra 2 pounds, and then the mekach remains. So that's what the Ran says, ha'efshe lahashlim mashlim ve'ene batel. Then the mekach is not batel. And the Ran says that there are those that prove this point from our sugya. Because in our sugya it says that when the person said he wants dafka beyed de pachya, he wants dafka beyim that were laid by the chicken and not ones from a shchuta, and we know that those beyim are superior, they're better la'achila, and we learn in our sugya that if the person's real intention was that he wants them for achila, he just wants better ones for achila because they're tzriva, they're more mizbashlois, then we're not mevatel the mekach. We say the mekach is kayim, but you just have to return him beini beini. You have to make up for the loss. Alma, he says, kol she'efshe lahashlim mashlim. Now the Ran says that the Ra'ah is doiche this raya. Now the Ra'ah's reasons for being doiche the raya is because he's goyris differently in the Gemara. He's goyris that the person went and took these eggs and put them underneath the chicken and nothing happened and they got ruined. And that's something that the Lekech shouldn't have done. So if the Bayim are still around, he says, then of course you would give back the Bayim and you would be mevatel the Mekach and ask for better eggs. But since the eggs were no longer here because the person put them underneath a chicken and ruined them, he can only be Teveya, the difference in price. And the Ran says that the Ra'ah is right for not accepting the explanation in our Gemara, like we said before the Ra'ah, the Hainu, that the person just had the eggs, and the reason why the Mekach is not batel is because it's like a davar shebemida that you just have to be mashlim. He says because it's very different than that case. A davar shebeminyan or shebemida or shebemishkol, the person got the quality of the item that he asked for. It was the quantity that he's lacking. So quantity, you could be mashlim and pay him whatever you were missing. But in our case, we had a kavana to buy something that was superior. Why should the moicher be allowed to now go and pay him the difference? He didn't get what he asked for. Not only that, says the Ran, there's a beferish mishtem baba basra that pay gimlo mebeis that says yofais v'nimtzu rois. If a person sold chitim, wheat, that was supposedly high quality wheat, v'nimtzu rois, and it turned out to be inferior quality. Lekeach yachal lachzer boy. The lekeach is allowed to be mevatel the mekach. And he says there's no question that that Mishnah is talking about, even in a case where the moicher is willing to now give him double the amount of merchandise so that he could make up that which he didn't give him. And we still say lekeach yachal lachzer boy. And the reason is because lekeach didn't get what he asked for. Therefore, he says that it has to be that our sugya is talking like a case that the Ra'ah said that Lekeach happened to have put the eggs underneath a chicken and ruined them, and therefore it's not possible for him to go back to the Moicher and say, take back these eggs and give me back my money. So we now have a very clear machlokes. The Ran understands that there's a difference between quantity and quality. When the person wasn't given all the quantity that he wanted, then there's a din of efshel hashlim. You're mashlim, you're not mevatel the mekach, rather you give him the amount that he asked for. Masha'en kein, if what was lacking was quality, then the lekeach could be mevatel the mekach, just like in the case of chitim, yafais v'nimtzu rois. And that's why the Ran says that it has to be that the girsa in our sugya is like the Ra'ah says, and therefore we would have no raya from our sugya to the case of the Trumas Hadeshen. We mentioned that the Trumas Hadeshen's case was where the lekeach wanted meat from an aisle that was Mesuras, and he ended up getting meat of a lesser quality, and the Trumas Hadeshen paskin based on our Gemara that he does not have the right to be mevatel the mekach. According to the Ran, there is no raya from our sugya. However, the first shita that the Ran brought down, the one that he's arguing on, that held that our sugya was talking about a regular case in which the lekeach wanted to be mevatel the mekach because he got something of a lesser quality, and nevertheless we tell him that you just mashlim de beini beini. And that means that a qualitative difference is the same as a quantitative difference. Just like in quantity, the Gemara says, by davar shebemida v'shebeminyan v'shebemishkol, you have the right to keep the mekach and just pay him that which you were lacking. So too, when you're made a qualitative change, you have the right to be mashlim de beini beini. You pay him for the difference. And actually, the Shar Mishpat argues on the Trumas Hadeshen because of the Ran, and the Gaon in Shulchan Aruch over there in Siman Reish Lamed Gimel says on the Ramah that the Trumas Hadeshen is dependent on the Machlokes, the two Shitas in the Ran. The Shitas that the Ran first brings down, and the Ran himself, who holds like the Ra'ah, and not like those Shitas. And it happens to be Mavur over there in the Goyin that it's the Ramban who agrees to the first Shita that the Ram brings down, and this is the Ramban Baba Basra Davkuf Dalet Amid Beis. Now, we have to ask, how will the Ramban learn the Mishnah in Baba Basra and Dav Pei Gimel Amid Beis? We mentioned that the Ran brought the Mishnah in Baba Basra Pei Gimel Amid Beis as a Raya to his Shita, because the Mishnah over there says that if a person purchases Chitim, wheat, Vinimtsu, Roy's, he wanted a better quality wheat. And it turns out that what he received was chitim roy's, inferior quality wheat, then the mekech is batel. So isn't that a raya that when you have a qualitative difference, then you don't have the right to retain the mekech and just pay the difference? So I think you have to say, like the Machne Ephraim says in Hilchos Mechira, Dinei Anah Simen Vav, that there's a tremendous chiluk between the case of chitim yafais v'nimtzu roy's, when the person wanted good wheat and he ended up getting inferior quality wheat, and the difference between bayim that come from a chicken that laid the egg and bayim that came from a shchuta. It may be true that there is a better quality that the bayim, the pachya, have, but when contrasting them to the bayim from the shchuta, it definitely does not amount to the same type of difference between chitim yafes v'nim tzurois. And he says, chitim yafes v'nim tzurois, it's clear that the lekech had a kpeda. Since he had a kpeda, that could be mevatel the mekach. Meaning to say that as far as the lekech is concerned, chitim rois are not really the same item that he ordered. It's not as if we say he received the item that he wanted, but he just wanted something that has an added mila. Because since the difference between chitim yafis and chitim rois is a stronger contrast, it's a greater difference, it stands to reason that the person doesn't view this as a kiyum of the tnai of the mekach. Masha'en Kain, the difference between Bey de Pachya and Bey de Shchuta is a lesser difference, it's a smaller difference, and therefore we don't identify the Tosefes Maila that the person didn't get as being a lack of the kiyum of the purchase. The person got the object that he asked for, it's just that he didn't get the extra Maila that he was supposed to get. So for example, suppose a person purchased a car, and he purchased a very expensive sports car, and he paid the price of that sports car, and then the person delivered a car of a lesser quality, then of course he could be mevatel the mekach because he didn't get the item that he ordered. However, if he got the sports car and he got the same model and the same brand, and it's just that there was a certain feature that was missing, the person could be makbid and he could say, I want you to pay me for the difference, but he can't come to him and say, I didn't get the item that I ordered. So chitim yafes v'nim tzurois is like getting a lower quality car. Masha'en Kain, the case of Bey de Pachya and Bey de Shchuta is like lacking a certain feature, because the Bey de Shchuta are indeed edible eggs, and they're just lacking that extra quality of tzrivan. The other Beyim, the Bey de Pachya, are tzrivan, like we said, they're mizbashlis kol tzarkon. And that's actually the Lashon of the Ritva, the Shita Mukbetzes brings down, when he explains what the Gemara means when it says that the Bey de Pachya are better than Bey de Shchuta because they're tzrivan tvei. He says, Shehein, mevushalos yoiser, the shoiklin yoiser, they are more finished and they weigh more. Avol mikol makon, nevertheless, he says, toivos uvrios hein leguf keilu, they're just as good and healthy as the other eggs. The eloi, because if not, afilu boiluhu lachila mekach toisu, even if the person had wanted them not for growing chicks, rather to have them for lachila, that would also be a mekach toisu. And our Gemara says that in that case, you would pay him the difference benid benid. And he's alluding to this idea that the fact that something is different in quality depends. If it's a greater difference in quality, then we would say it's like chitim yafes v'nim tzurois. But this difference in quality is not enough to be mevatel the mekach. And you have to say that the Trumas HaDeshen made the assumption in his case as well, in the case where the person wanted meat from an aisle mesuras, that the difference in quality between an aisle mesuras and an aisle that's not mesuras is similar to the difference in quality between a Beyed Pachya and Beyed Shchuta. So it's not the derech, like we said, to be makbid that much, and therefore the mekech is not batel, it's only considered like you're lacking an added benefit, an added feature. So it comes out that we have machlokes, the Ran and the Ramban, whether a qualitative difference is something that gives you the right to be mevatel the mekach or not. The Ran is of the opinion that any qualitative difference would be like the case of chitim yafes v'nim tzurois that we talk about in the Mishnah in Baba Basra Pei Gimel Amid Beis. And the Ramban holds that there are qualitative differences that belong more to the category of quantitative differences that you're allowed to be mashlim, and that is the shita of the Trumas HaDeshen as well. However, the Korban Asanel in Simen Tes Ois Dalet actually asks the Kasha on our sugya from the case of chitim yafes v'nim tzurois. He says, what's the difference? Why is it that it's mavur in our sugya that you would not be able to be mevatel the mekach if you had asked for bey de pachya and you got bey de shchuta, if your real intention was that you wanted to eat them, you're not allowed to be mevatel the mekach. And he gives a different teretz. He says that even by chitim yofes v'nim tzurois, the Mishnah Bava Basra does not mean to say that the mekach is totally null and void. Because the lashon of the Mishnah over there in Bava Basra is that yofes v'nim tzurois loikeach yochoy lachzer boy. Which means, says the Karban Esanol, that the loikeach has the right to be mevatel the mekach if he wants to. But if the loikeach wants to retain the mekach and say that I agree to the sale and I just want you to make up the difference, he's allowed to do that as well. And he says this is unlike a case where somebody made up to buy chitim, and instead of giving him chitim, the guy gave him sa'irim. Over there, the moicher is also allowed to be mevatel the mekach because it was not a mekach. Therefore, he says, if the person's intention was in our sugya that he wanted beim legadle freichim, like is true lamaskana, then when he got beitzim deshchuta, the moicher is also allowed to be mevatel mekach because that is considered a different item. Masha ein kein, if his intention was that he wanted beim that are laachila, and then he received beim from a shchuta which are of a lesser quality than bey de pachya, then the lekech would have the right to be mevatel the mekach, but the moicher wouldn't. So when the Gemara says that the Havamina is that he has to pay him the amount to Beini Beini, that's if the Lekech wants. If the Lekech wants to retain the Mekach, then he could demand the difference in price. So according to the Covenant Sanal, you don't have to be Mechalik between different levels of qualitative differences. All qualitative differences, the Lekech is allowed to be Chayzer, but the Moicher is not allowed to be Chayzer. The Lekech can force him to retain the Mekach and pay the difference. And according to him, it comes out that there are three categories. When you buy something and you get an entirely different item, then even the moicher could be mevatel the mekach, because he could say that's not what we agreed upon. When you got something that is the same item but qualitatively different, then the lekech can insist on being mevatel the mekach, but he could also insist on retaining the mekach and getting the difference. And when you just gave him a quantitative difference, then we see from the Gemara and Kedushin Membeis that nobody could be mevatel the mekach, and it's just that you have to make up the difference in the quantity. So we have three shittas. According to the Ran and the Ra'ah, all qualitative differences are the same, and you could be mevatel the mekach just like had your intention been to buy a different item. Our Gemara has to be with a different girsa, like we mentioned. According to the Ramban and the Trumas Hadeshin holds this way as well. It depends what type of qualitative difference. If it's a qualitative difference which is very severe and people are makbid on, then it's like chitim yofes v'nim tzurois, and you can be mevatel the mekach, mashe ein kein, something that is less of a hakpada, like in our case, or in the Trumas Hadeshin's case, then it has the exact same halacha as a quantitative difference, which is that you're mashlim. According to the Karban Hasanal, however, all qualitative differences are the same, but are still different than getting an entirely different item. When you get an entirely different item, then everybody could be chayzer, mash enkein. If it was a qualitative difference, then only the loikech is allowed to be chayzer. And by quantitative differences, that's where you're mashlim. The Gemara brings another hesber in what Rav could have meant when he said that a beya im yitziyasa nigmura. The Gemara says, my im yitziyasa nigmura, im yitziyas ruba nigmura, uchir Rabbi Yochanan. Rav is coming to say the yisoy that Rabbi Yochanan said. Rabbi Yochanan says that beya sheyotza ruba me'erev yomtiv v'chazra. Let's say roiv of the beya came out of the chicken before yomtiv, and then it went back in, and then it came out on yomtiv, then it's muteris la'achla b'yomtiv. That's not a problem of a beya shenolda b'yomtiv. Alternatively, the Gemara says, v'ikir yomar mayim yitziyasa nigmura, the exact opposite. Em yitziyas kula nigmura. Em yitziyas kula in aval ruba loy, ulafukim ed Rabbi Yochanan. Since Rabbi Yochanan says that yitziyas ruba would make it that it's considered like it's already nolda. Mashen Kein Rav is coming along and saying that only em yitziyas kula nigmura, but if roiv would come out before yomtiv, then it still would be usur when the egg comes out on yomtiv. Now the Rambam doesn't bring down this din of Rabbi Yochanan that as soon as Roiv comes out, then it's mutar la'achlo b'yomtiv. And the Tzlach says that the reason for this is because the Rambam paskins like the second Lashon, and he paskins like Rav. Meaning, the second Lashon holds that this machloikis between Rav and Rabbi Yochanan. What happens if Roiv comes out before yomtiv? Does it suffer from the problem of a beis shenol to be yomtiv or not? Says the Tzlach, the Rambam holds that it does, because he paskins like the second Lashon, that Rav's Shita is that you need Yitzias Kula in order to be Mutter, and Yitzias Ruba is not enough. And the Rambam paskins like Rav. He asks, however, why would Rambam paskin like Rav? The Kalal usually is Rav, Rabbi Yochanan, Halacha, Rabbi Yochanan. So he gives a very interesting teretz. He says that Rav and Rabbi Yochanan over here are l'shitasam. Because we know that in the first sugya in our perek, there's machloikis, how to understand what the siba for the iser in the Mishnah is. Why is a beis shenol to be yomtif aser? Rav understands it's because of the din of hachana de rabba. That, like we said, since a beya that is born today was nigmara yesterday, there's a gzeira atu yomtiv sha'achra Shabbos. Because that's how the Gemara in Daf Dalet Amud Aleph explains Shitas Rav. The Gemara says that Rav islei hachona de Rabba. And that's why Rav Shita over there was that nolda bezeh asuru bezeh. However, Rabbi Yochanan, the Gemara says over there, lesle achana de Rabba. And the Gemara in the first sugi explains that Rabbi Yochanan Shita is that the reason why the beya is asur is because of mashkin shezavu. Says the Tzlach, Mashkin Shezavu is a regular gzeira, and even though Abaya Shenolda B'Yontiv is included in that gzeira, nevertheless, we can apply the principle of Rubik Ekuloi to say that if a roiv of the Bay was Nolda already before Yomtiv, it's not included in the gzeiras Mashkin Shezavu, because halachically it's not something that was considered to have been Nolda on Yomtiv. Mashkin Shezavu is only in something that was Zavu on Yomtiv. So therefore he says that Rubai Kekulai helps if the Chshash is Mashkin Shezavu. That's why Rabbi Yochanan says that if it was Yotza Beruba, then it's not part of the Isser. However, Rav, who asers Midin HaChana de Rabba, we have to ask ourselves the question, was the Be'ah already Mukhan before Yomtif or not? Was there a Mikan Ani Oichel Lomachar like the Lashon of Rashi on the Be'ez Mebe'ez or not? So, look, Gabi, this question, Roiv is not really going to help you, because it may have been Nolda Beruba, but you don't have a Hachana from before Yomtif. Because being considered Mukhan from before Yomtif depends on the Metzias, not on its halachic reality. If the Be'ah has not been totally born before Yomtif, then your Sudas Yomtif was not yet Mukhan, but when Yomtif came in. So Rav, who holds like Rabba, that the Isser is because of Hachana, doesn't care whether it was Yatza Beruba from before Yomtiv or not. The main thing is Yatza Kula. If it's Yatza Kula, then we say that the Suuda is Mukhan from Miboid Yoim. The Mela says that Tzlach, even though usually Rav Rabbi Yochanan or Halacha Rabbi Yochanan, so we asked, why does the Rambam not paskin like Rabbi Yochanan that Yitzias Roiv would be enough? The answer is that we already paskin that the reason for the Isser, the Be'ah Shenolda B'Yomtiv, is because of Achana, not because of Mashkin Shezavu. Therefore, the Rambam does not paskin like Rabbi Yochanan. The Gemara brought down a braisa that says, Kol shetashmishe b'yoyim noyle b'yoyim. Any creature that does tashmish during the daytime, the leda is going to be in the day. And the braisa explains that that means a tarnagoilis, because a tarnagoilis is tashmishe b'yoyim, and therefore they give birth in the day. The Gemara asks on this, L'may nafkamina, why is it important for us to know this information? The Gemara answers, because it's Negea, the din of Rab Mari Bereder of Kahana. Rab Mari Bereder of Kahana said that if a person is Badak B'Kanashal Tarnagoylem, he checks the chicken coop, and he sees on Erev Yomtif that there are no eggs there. V'loy Matzav Abaya. Ulamachar, the next morning, on Yomtif morning, Hishkim, he gets up early, U'Matzav Abaya, and he finds an egg there, then Muteris. We believe that it could not have been born after Yom Tov started, because although he did check before Yom Tov and he saw there were no eggs there, but it does not happen in the nighttime, because Kol Shetashmish B'Yoyim, Noilad B'Yoyim, and it must be that this Be'ah was really Nolda before Yom Tov. The Gemara says, but you checked, so what do we say about that? The Gemara says, Emer Le'Badik Yafa Yafa. Maybe he didn't really check properly. Va'filu Badik Yafa, and even if he checked really well, we have another suggestion, and that is, Emer Yatsa Saruba V'Chazar Avoy Uchad Rabbi Yochanan. Maybe Roiv of the egg already emerged before Yom Tov. It went back into the chicken, and that's why you didn't see an egg in the coop before Yom Tov, and then it was Nolda fully on Yom Tov. The Gemara then proceeds to ask a stira, because Rabbi Yossi ben Shol says in the name of Rav that in the same case, the Barak with Kanashal Tarnagoyles may Erev Yomtif. Somebody checked the chicken coop before Yomtif. He didn't find an egg there. The next morning he finds an egg. There it's Usser, because we say that it was born on Yomtif. The Gemara answers that that's talking about a case of Safta Me'ara, which means that the chicken has the ability to produce an egg and lay it even without a Zachar, and that doesn't need Tashmishoy B'Yoyim. You could produce it at night because it could rub itself against the karka and be mischamim and then lay an egg. So why in Rav Murray's case did we say that we're sure that it was not laid during the yomtiv because it had to have been in the yom? Maybe the chicken actually laid an egg because it was safta me'ara. The Gemara answer is that whenever there's a zachar around, the chicken will not be safta me'ara. So in this, the Gemara asks, if it's true that the possibility exists that the chicken is going to be safta me'ara, then why is this halacha only true in a case where he was badak, He checked it on Erev Yom Tov and saw there were no eggs there. Why don't we say even if he didn't check it on Erev Yom Tov, we should at least have the chashash that the chicken laid it during the Yom Tov at night, because it's something that the chicken could do if it's Safna Me'ara. And the Gemara answers that if he didn't check, then we don't assume that it was born at night. Rove time, says Rashi, Ruba b'yamama yaldan. Most chickens lay their eggs in the daytime. Now, in the case where we have no choice but to say that it happened at night because you checked it in the day, then we'll resort to say that it happened because it was Safna Me'ara. But if we don't have to say that, we'll make the assumption that it was born in the daytime. So you see from here that it's possible to be soymech on roiv in order to allow you to eat this egg. Because roiv is what's telling us that mistama, the leida, happened in the daytime. Roiv pa'am, it happens in the day, and therefore when it's loy badach, we have the right to assume that the leida was in the day. The Ran says over here, he says, meha mashma, from here we could see that filu bidover sheyeshloy matirin bidrabanan azlina basaruba. We have the right to go basaroiv, to use the rule of zil basaruba, even by a dover sheyeshloy matirin. Because we know, like we learned earlier in the Gemara, a beya is a dover sheyeshloy matirin, because it's going to be mutter after Yom Tov. Nevertheless, you have the right to be soymchan roiv. Says the Ran, even though we know that the rule is, like we already learned, that dover sheyeshloy matirin afilu be'elef loy batal, we don't use the rule called bittel beroiv, but that's only over there because we know that the iser fell into the taruvis. When you know that a bay that was usser got mixed in with other eggs, then you cannot be semichan roiv to be mevatlet because you know that the iser is here. Masha'enkein, in our case, we're using roiv to determine that there is no iser. So that chiluk is called ischazik isura versus lo ischazik isura. In a case where you know the iser is here, it's called ischazik isura, then we don't allow you, since it's davar sheyesh matirin, to be semichan bittel beroiv. Masha'enkein over here, it's lo ischazik isura, so you could be semich on halech achar roiv. However, the Yamshel Shlomo is medayek from the Torah that he does not agree to this, because the Torah says, "Im loy badak me erev Yom Tov, if you didn't check the chicken coop before Yom Tov, afilu ileka zachar bahada sharya, even if there's no zachar around, then it's mutter." We're toila that the egg was there already from the day before. The afiloi zachar, even without a zachar, ruban yodos biyoim. Most of the chicken lay their eggs in the daytime. The Yamshel Shlomo understands that what the Torah is saying is that we really have two roivs. Roiv number one is that roiv of the times that you find an egg, the assumption is that it came from a zachar. Roiv eggs that are laid are not safta me'ara, they're zachar eggs. And number two, even if it was safta me'ara, you have a roiv saying that of those that are safta me'ara, most of it happens in the daytime. Ask the Yamshel Shlomo, why did the Torah need two roivs? Why wasn't enough to have one roiv? You could say that you find it. Your assumption could be that it came from a zachar, because most of the time it's coming from a zachar. So he says that the Torah was bothered by the kasha of davar sheyesh lo matirin. Since it's davar sheyesh matirin, we never say bittel beroiv. If we don't say bittel beroiv, we shouldn't say halech achar roiv either, and be soymech on roiv to be machshir the egg. But when you have two roivs, then you do have the right to be meko. However, the Shah HaMelech in Perek Dalet, Hilchos Yom Tov, Halacha Chaf Dalet, asks Akasha. He says, I don't understand how you can say that you need two roivs. In our sugya, you see that in the event that there was no zachar around, so you know definitely that it was Safna Me'ara, if it was Loi Badak, if you didn't check the coop beforehand, then the egg is mutter. And that's because you have the right to assume that it was from the day before. Why is that? You only have one roiv. There's the roiv that Safna Me'ara is usually happens during the daytime. And the truth is that many Achronim learn Bidas HaTur, that the Torah himself never meant that you're Samech on two roivs. He just meant that the roiv that says that it happened in the daytime is true even by Safna Me'ara. And that's like the Lashon of Tosfos over here, in the Ramasal Chiloi Bodak, Emer Me'esmal Havoi. Tosfos asks that why do we have the right to assume that it happened from the day before? He says, Bey is a davar sheyesh lo matirin, and therefore you should go l'chumra, because we know that by sfeika drabanan, although usually you go l'kula, but by a davar sheyesh lo matirin, you go l'chumra. And Tosfos says, D'shayni yachra mishum digam ki safta me'ara, shchiach d'yeledes b'yoyim yoyser mi'balayla. Now the fact that the Ran says that there's a kasha between our sugya where you see that you're soymech on roiv, and the sugi before, when you see that we don't allow for bittel bereid by davar sheyesh lo matirin, is a very interesting thing, because we already mentioned back on Daf Dalet that there are two ways to understand why Davar Shesh Matirin is not Batal Baroiv. Rashi's shita was that you don't have the right to be Soymech on Bitl Baroiv because Ad Shetechlenu Be'Isr Techlenu Be'Heter. Since you have a means to consume this thing in an oifen that you know for sure that it's Mutter, wait until tonight and then you know for sure it's Mutter. Don't go be soymech on the bidiyavid called roiv. You have a way of making sure that you know that you're doing something that's mutter. So why be soymech on roiv? The Ran, however, we quoted from the Darim Daf Nun Beis, says a different hesber in why Davar Shesh Matirin is not bottle afilu be'elef. And that is because bittel is a special mechanism that requires opposing forces. You have to have heter being mevatel iser, and the Ran explains over there that a Davar Shesh Matirin is too similar to the heter that's trying to be mevatel it, since it's not fully usher, it's going to be mutter tonight. So it's a rule in Hilchas bittel. So according to the Ran Lashit Tosai, how could he even ask the question that he just asked? He says that we see that you don't say bittel b'roiv by a Davar Shesh Matirin, so how is it that over here we have the right to be soymech on roiv and assume that this was born in the daytime? Being soymech on roiv, to assume that it was born in the day, has nothing to do with the rule called bittel that has to do with opposing forces, which the Ran describes over there in the Darim. So where do we ever have a makar that you don't say Haleich Achar Roiv, that we don't go after Roiv to be Mevarer a Suffolk? It's true that Bittel B'Roiv you don't say, but Bittel B'Roiv and Haleich Achar Roiv are two separate things. Bishlam, according to Rashi, there's the idea of Ad Shetechlenu Be'Isr Techlenu Be'Heter. So just like you say it by Bittel B'Roiv, you could say it by Haleich Achar Roiv. But the way that the Ran describes why you don't say Bittel B'Roiv doesn't apply to Haleich Achar Roiv. By Bittel B'Roiv you have a Taruvus, you have two opposing forces, and the Roiv has to subsume the Miat. But here we're just trying to use the din called Roiv to determine when the Leida took place. So this would be a raya to what the Zecher Yitzchak says, which we quoted back on Daf Dalet, that even the Ran, who says in Nedarim, his hesber in why you don't say Bittel B'Roiv, is true only by a lach belach. When two things get mixed together, then there's a din that Davar Shesh Matirin afilu be'elef loy batel. However, he says that the Ran would agree to Rashi's tam of Ad Shetechlenu Be'Isr Techlenu Be'Heter when it comes to a yavish be'yavish. And he proves that from the sugya before, because he says that the sugya tells us that just like you don't say Bittel B'Roiv by Davar Shesh Matirin, you also don't say the klal of Safek Drabanan Lekula by Davar Shesh Matirin. Now that statement can only be made if you go with Rashi's hesber that Ad Shetechlenu Be'Isr Techlenu Be'Heter. So just like you're not soymech on roiv, which is a kula, you're also not soymech on the klal called Safek Drabanan Lekula. So lefi the Zecher Yitzchak, we understand why the Ran asked the kasha over here. The Ran gives a teretz that's a difference even by roiv between ischazik isura and lo ischazik isura. In the Mishnah, we learned about the machloikes beshamay and beshilo concerning sa'ar and chametz. Beshamay's shita is that sa'ar bekezayetz and chametz bekezeves, and beshilo holds that zeveze bekezayetz. And the Gemara asks, "My time ayda beshamay? What's beshamay's reason to be machalik between the two?" The Gemara says, "Im kein lichter achmana chametz loy boy sa'ar." Why did the Torah have to write sa'ar bechlal? It could have just written chametz. Va'na amin, and I would say there's a kavachomer. Uma chametz she'en chimutzei kasha bekezayetz. Sa'ar shechimutzei kasha loy kol shekein. Chametz, it doesn't have as strong of a chimutz as sa'ar. Sa'ar is capable of being mechametz other things. So even without writing sa'ar, I would have known sa'ar from chametz. Now the question on this is that there is a klal called Ein Mazhirin Min Hadin. We never invent lavin from a kavachomer. So how could you say that had it not written sa'ar, I would have automatically assumed that since sa'ar is more chomer, because chimutzei kasha, I would learn it out from chametz. Now you could answer that legabe the iser by yirah by yimotze, the klal of emas hirim and adin is not relevant because there's no malchus on that lav. Like the Gemara says in Pesachim daf tzarichei amid aleph that it's a lav hanitik laseh and it's a lav she'en by maisa. However, you can't say this either, because if indeed there is no malchus whatsoever by the lav by yirah by yimotze, then what exactly is machlekes beishamim beishilo? They can't be arguing how much you need in order to be over the Isser, because we paskin that chatzis shir is Asr min HaTorah. So as far as the Isser, you're going to have the Isser no matter what. So if you say that it's possible to get Malkus for the lava by your Rabbi Yimotze, then we understand. They're arguing what shir do you need in order to be chayiv the Oynish, the Malkus. But if there is no Malkus, then what are they arguing about? So you could say that even though usually chatzis shir is Asr min HaTorah, nevertheless by the lava by your Rabbi Yimotze, there is no din of chatzis shir Asr min HaTorah. And this is actually a big machlokes achronim. The Chacham Tzvi in Tshuva Pei Vav says that there is no Isser of Chatzis Shir Aser Menat Torah by Bal Yerubah Yimotzeh. He says for two possible reasons. Number one, the whole din of Chatzis Shir Aser Menat Torah is learned out from the pasuk called Chelev, which is written by the Lav of Chelev, and that's only Isuri Achila. But by things that don't have to do with Isuri Achila, there's no Isser of Chatzis Shir. And the Chorim asks on him from the end of Perek Klal Gadol, where the Gemara asks, V'chimuter lefois pachas b'kashir, is it mutter to do the Isser of Afia and Shabbos of pachas b'kashir? It sounds like that's because Chatzis Shir Aser Menat Torah. And a second reason that he gives is that the Gemara in Yuma, in the beginning of Perek Yom Kippurim, aside from bringing the limit of Kol Chelev, brings the time of Chazilitz Terufe. And so he says, by Isuri Achila, you could say a person does an action, it's Chazilitz Terufe, it's possible for him to continue that action by eating more. And therefore, it's like the Prima Gadim says in his Akdama, that the whole Isur of Chatzishir is a Gzeira Menat Torah. So there's a Gzeira, we're worried the Torah was Gezer, don't do a part of a Shir, because you could be Mitzar of that to more. We may be afraid that the person's going to continue eating. However, if the person doesn't do an action, he just happens to have chametz in his rishus on Pesach, it doesn't have the same element of chazilitz terufe, because it's true that the person could go now and acquire more chametz, but it's not like we could say that we're afraid he's going to continue what he was doing until now. By achila, you could say you were doing a chatzi shir, maybe he's going to continue and eat a big shir. Masha'en came by bayira, which is done through inaction, there's no makom for such a chashash. What are we worried is going to happen? He's going to continue his inaction and result in a full shir? It doesn't make any sense. So lefi the chacham tzvi, there is no din of chatzi shir asur min haTorah, and so we could say very simply, the Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel are not arguing about the Oinish. There really is no Malkus. They're arguing rather about the Isser itself. And we don't have the Kasha of Chatzis Shir Aser Menat Torah, so in any case it's going to be Aser. It's not Aser unless you have the complete Shir, and that is Machlokes Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel. So according to him, we're not forced to say that there's Malkus by the Lav Bayirel Bayimotze in order to understand what they're arguing about. However, many Achrayim argue on the Chacham Tzvi. The Shagas Aryan, Simon Pei Aleph, the Tzlach over here, and others say that there is a din of Chatzis Shir Aser Menat Torah even by an Isser like Bayirel Bayimotze. So then we're back to our question. If there is no Malkus by the Lav Bayirel Bayimotze, then what are Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel arguing about? It can't be that they're arguing about the Shir, because Chatzis Shir is anyway Aser Menat Torah. And if for some reason there is Malkus by the Lav Bayira Bayimotze, then there's the problem of Emas Hirim and Adin in our sugya. Why would Beis Shammai say that we would learn it out from a Kal V'Chomer of Se'or being learned from Chametz? If it's all Legabe, the Einish, there is no Din Einish when you're learning out from a Kal V'Chomer, Emas Hirim and Adin. Now it happens to be that the Rambam Shita in Perek Aleph, Hilchas Chametz U'Matzah, is that you do get Malkus and Bayira Bayimotze if you buy Chametz on Pesach. When you have chametz in your rishus, then it's a lav she'en b'maisis, so you don't get malkus, because you're doing the iser through inaction. But if you buy chametz on Pesach, then you're over the iser with an action, and then you get malkus. So according to the Rambam, it makes sense what they could be arguing about, since chatzis shir is aser min haTorah, but what about the kasha of ein mazhirim min hadin? So the Shagas Aryan Simon Pei gives a teretz to this kasha, al pi the yisoy that the Magid Mishnah says in the beginning of Perek Beis of Hilchos Machos Asuris Bedas, the Rambam. Over there, he's mechadish that the din of ein mazhirim min hadin does not apply when something is already usher mikoyach a lav haba mechlal aseh. Dehainu, we're discussing now using a Kal V'Chomer to say that you're over the lav of Bal Yerubah Bayimotze legabi se'or. However, even before understanding that there is a lav, whether it be through a Kal V'Chomer or through the Torah's extra pasuk, se'or would have anyway been usher to have in your possession on Pesach, not with an iser lav, but with an iser aseh, because there's a lav haba mechlal aseh, which is that it says tashbisu se'or mibateichem. The Torah is mechayev us to get rid of our chametz, and therefore that means that there's an iser to have it in our possession. And the Magid Mishnah's yisoid is that anytime something is already usher, you're allowed to use a Kal V'Chomer to add to it an Isser Lav, and you're not bound by the rule of Ein Mazhirin Min Adin. So that's how the Shagas Aryan answers the Kasha on our Sugya. Beis Shammai would be able to learn from a Kal V'Chomer since the Se'or is already Aser. Now all this works out according to the Rambam that we mentioned, who holds that if you buy Chametz on Pesach, then you're over and you get Malkus. But the Shita of Tosis in Pesachim Chav Tesma is that you don't get Malkus in the lab of Bayirah Bayimotze. And that's based on the Gemara that Tzadikam at Aleph in Pesachim, as we mentioned earlier. Then according to Tosfos, we definitely don't have the kash of Emas Hirim and Adin, but we have the other question, that what then is the Machlokes, Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel? since we hold Chatzi Shir Asa Min HaTorah. So like we said, according to the Chacham Tzvi, that wouldn't be a problem. But according to everybody else, what exactly are Reish Shammai and Misalo arguing about? Chatzi Shir is anyway Asa Min HaTorah. The Shagas Aryeh in Siman Pei Aleph and Pei Beis mentions this question. The Tzlach gives a teretz to the question, and he says that even though Lagabe having chametz in your rishus on Pesach itself, there really is no difference between Beishamah and Beisilol, because everybody agrees to Chatzi Shir, Asa Min HaTorah. Nevertheless, there will be a difference Lagabe the din of chametz she'aver lava Pesach. Because according to Reb Shimon, chametz la'achar Pesach is Asar ba'anah midrabanan. And therefore, if you were mashe chametz in your rishus over Pesach, if it's the shir, then it's going to be aser b'hana, because you were over the actual iser v'al yirah b'yimotzim. Mashe enkein, if you had less than a shir in your rishus, then it doesn't become aser b'hana. Now, Beis Hillel has a teretz to Beis Shammai's taina. They say that you need to write both sa'ar and chametz, and you cannot learn out from the fact that it writes both that there's a different shir. Because they say, Ikas of Rachmana Chametz, if it would only say Chametz, then I would say, Mishum de Roy Lachila. I will Sa'ar, She'ain Roy Lachila, Eim Aloy. I would say that there's no Isser on Sa'ar since it's not Roy Lachila. Why doesn't Beis Shammai agree to this Taina? So it could be that Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel are arguing in the gather of the Isser by Yerah by Yimotze. Beis Hillel holds that the Iker Isser of Yerah by Yimotze, that the Torah asserted, was in order to protect you from being over the Isser of Achila. It's a harchaka that the person shouldn't come to eat Chametz. Because as we know, the Gemara says in a few places that chametz is different than other isurim because it's loy bedilamine, since it's mutter the rest of the year, people don't separate themselves from it, and therefore you're in more of a danger to be over this isur achil than any other sechil. So the Torah said, don't have it in your possession. According to that, it would make sense to be mechalik between the type of chametz that's roy lachila and the type of chametz that's not roy lachila. Masha inkein, we could say that Beis Shammai hold that the isur by yirah by imotze is an independent isur; it has nothing to do with the isur of achila. And therefore, they don't consider this a pircha. Just because it's not roi lachila doesn't mean that it should be any different like gabe the isra by rabbi imotze. The Prima Gadam in the Reish Yosef mentions this idea, except that he says that it could be Lamaskana Beis Hillel also agrees that the gedder of the Isser by Yirah by Yimotze is an independent Isser. It's just that without having written Sa'ar, then I would have said that the Isser is because of Harachaka, that you shouldn't come to eat it. After the Torah writes the Isser by Yirah by Yimotze by Sa'ar, the Torah is Megala, that the Isser is not because of Harachaka, rather it's an independent Isser, and that's why it exists by Sa'ar also, which is not Roy Lachila. But Bedas Beis Shammai, we could say we never had such a Havamina, that the Isser is Kedai Shalaya, and that's why they don't entertain this pircha that Sa'ar is not roi la'achila. Learned in the Mishnah that Hashoychet Chaya V'oif B'yomtif, there's a machloikis Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel what you're supposed to do. Lefi Rabba's Hezber L'maskana of the machloikis Beis Shammai Beis Hillel, the Mishnah means to say that if somebody wants to shecht and he comes and asks what he should do, and he does not have offer Muchan Mibo'id Yoim, so according to Beis Shammai we tell him shecht anyway, and then he should do the chafira and do kisei adam. Beis Hillel say you should not shecht unless you have afar muchan miboid yoim. Rabbi Yosef agrees to the hesber that we just said in Beis Hillel. He just says that according to Beis Shammai, you tell him first dig and then shecht. But everybody agrees that according to Beis Hillel, you're not supposed to shecht a chay or an oif unless you have afar muchan miboid yoim. And that's the psak din Shulchan Aruch Yerdeh Simen Chav Ches Sif Chav Aleph. Now the question is, according to Beis Hillel, who don't allow you to do chafira on Yom Tif, why is it usher to shecht if you don't have afer muchan b'boid yoim? Why don't we say, allow the person to shecht, he's allowed to shecht for echel nefesh on Yom Tif, and even though he will then not be allowed to go and dig and do kisei adam, nevertheless, then he'll be considered an oinus. So he won't do the mitzvah of kisei adam. If you'll ask, how could a person put himself into a matzev, into a situation where he's potter midin oinus? We can prove that a person is allowed to put himself into a matziv of oinus. There's a famous shita samartcha, it's brought down by the Taz in Archaim Simon Yud Gimel, Sifkat and Hay, that if a person has a dalet kanfus and he realizes that his tzitzis are posel, so he has a chiv tzitzis and he can't be mekayim the mitzvah tzitzis, he's allowed to put on Shabbos, that dalet kanfus, even though he's going to then be in a matziv where he has a chiv mitzvah, a mechiv mitzvah say to put on tzitzis on his dalet kanfis, since he's in an oinus that he can't put it on Shabbos, he's potter midin oinus. So we don't tell him, don't put on the dalet kanfis because then you're going to be mechuyiv and you're going to be potter midin oinus. We allow him to put the beged on, put himself into a matzav of oinus, even though he's now going to be wearing a four-cornered beged without tzitzis, that doesn't bother us because the din to put on tzitzis is only a positive mitzvah. When you have a dalet kanfis on, you have to put tzitzis. This person is going to be potter midin oinus. So you see that you're allowed to put yourself into a matzav where Oynes is going to tell you that you're potter. So why don't we say the same thing over here? Let the person shecht, and even if we don't allow him to do the digging, to do kisei adam, he'll be potter midin Oynes. So I think we can answer this question based on the shita of the Bahag. The Rashba in Chulin, Daf Peva, brings down the shita of the Bahag, that a person, when he shechts, we know that he makes a bracha before the shechita. He says, Ashekitshanu mitzvoisa v'tzivanu ala shechita. What happens after he does shechita? According to the Bahag, he first does kisei adam, and then he makes the bracha on the kisei adam. Even though all other mitzvahs, you're supposed to make over latsiyosan, the bracha you're supposed to say before you do the mitzvah, he says kisei adam is different, because it's a bracha that's tluya b'shechita. What does it mean that it's a bracha that's tluya b'shechita? Explains the Rashba, because if you shecht a shechita she'en ru'uya, if it's not a kosher shechita, then you're potter from doing kisui. So therefore, the mitzvah kisei adam, even though it's not a ma'akiv in the heter ashchita, if you don't do kisui, you're still allowed to eat the basar. Nevertheless, the mitzvah kisui is seen as a gemar to the mitzvah of shchita. V'im kein, he says, kvar hischilbo, you already started that mitzvah, v'i efsherbo over lasiyasa. It's impossible to make a bracha here over lasiyasa before the mitzvah, because the kisui is considered a hemshech and a gemar to the mitzvah which you started, the mitzvah shchita. So therefore, they were sakin to make the bracha after the kisui. And I think we could be medayik from Rashi on our daf that he holds like this Bahag as well. Because in the beginning of our sugi, the Gemara made a diuk. It says, Hashoychet. It sounds like Bidiyevit, a person who did shecht, and he didn't have offer, what should he do? It sounds like even Beis Shammai, who allows him to go B'yachber Dekar B'yachasa when he did shecht, but would tell him, B'chatchilu, you shouldn't shecht unless he had offer Mucham B'adyoim. But then the Gemara asks a steer from the Seifa. It says, Eima Seifa U'Beis Hillel Oymer, Lo Yishchot. It sounds like Mechlal D'Tanakama Savar Yishchot. So the way the Gemara resolved that stira was by saying, Holaikasha, lo yishchait v'yechasa ka'amar. When Beis Hillel say lo yishchait, it's not as if they heard from the Tanakama that you're allowed to shecht l'chatchila, and then they come and say, lo yishchait, you shouldn't shecht. They knew that the Tanakama said, you're not allowed to shecht l'chatchila, and it's only ha-shoychit. But when they say the words lo yishchait, they mean, don't do shechita and kisui. Now, how does that fit into the words lo yishchait? So Rashi explains. In Dibur Maschil Holei Kasha, he says, Lo yishchaitu Beis Hillel akisui l'chudei kamahadri, v'hachi ka'amar, lo yigbar maise ha-shchita, dehainu akisui. Now, if you don't learn like the Bahag, this is very strange. What does kisui have to do with shchita? Kisui is a separate mitzvah. But according to the Bahag, we understand what it means that lo yigmar maitza shchita, because the kisui is seen as a gmar to mitzvah shchita. So lefi the Bahag, we could say a very simple chilik between the case of putting on a dalet kanfis that you're allowed to do. You're allowed to put yourself into a matzav where you're in oynis and you can't be mekayim the mitzvah tasei, and the din of kisei adam that we don't allow you to do a shchita, even though you're going to then be in a matzav of oynis and you won't be able to do the mitzvah kisui. Why don't we say the same svara as the Mordechai of tzitzis? The teretz is that Bishlamo over there by tzitzis, the mitzvah begins at the moment that the person puts on the dalet kanfis. At that moment, the person becomes mechuyev in putting tzitzis, and we say right now you're in a matzav of oynis. You don't have to start worrying about not becoming a oynis and therefore telling you not to put on the dalet kanfis. Rather, we tell you, you put on your beged. You don't have to worry about not putting on a beged. Put it on. Once you become mechuyev in the mitzvah, you're in oynis. You can't do the mitzvah. However, since according to the Bahag, the mitzvah of kisui is different because it really is a gemar to the shechita. So we have to tell you in the beginning of that elongated mitzvah, which began with the shechita, whether you're allowed to do the shechita or not. We cannot tell you, do a shechita that we know from the outset that you're not going to be able to mekayim that mitzvah fully. And since the kisui is seen as a gemar, so we know already when we're doing the shechita that you're not going to be able to do this with kisui. So how can we tell you l'chatchila to do an incomplete mitzvah? So that works out very nicely if you hold like the Bahag. However, not everybody agrees to the Bahag. The Rambam Perek Yudalad Hilchos Shechita Halacha Aleph says you first make the bracha and then you do the kisui. And the Ra'ah, when he argues, and the Rashi the Berak Abayi says the same thing. There's also a machlokes in the Poskim whether you're allowed to speak in between the shechita and the kisui. And the Beis Yosef seems to understand that this issue is dependent on whether the kisui is considered a mitzvah bifnei atzmai or not. The Meiri also asks the Kashan the Bahagi, says that it's two separate mitzvahs, so why would you consider it a gemar? Why would you make the bracha afterwards? So according to those shitas that argue on the Bahag, how are you mechalak between the case of kisui and the case of tzitzis? Now, one can always argue that they don't agree to the Mordechai, who says by tzitzis. The Mordechai also brings down the Rashmi Droyash, who argues on the Riyazakin, who says the Chiddush that we mentioned earlier. The Riyazakin says that you're allowed to put the Dalet Kanfis on. The Rashmi Droyash argues. It's not clear if the Rashmi Droyash holds that you're not allowed to put yourself into the Matzev of in Oynes, and that's why he argues, or he holds that there's something wrong with the actual Levisha, and it's not as if the mitzvah only begins later. But I'll call upon him, it's uncomfortable to say that all of those Rishonim that argue on the Bahag are going to be forced to say, like the Rashmi Dreyesh, in order not to have the Kasha from Tzitzis. So perhaps we can answer the question as follows. By Tzitzis, the Chiyuv really doesn't begin until the person is wearing the Beged. There's a Chiyuv Aslam Tzitzis Al Kanfi Bigdehim. So there's nothing wrong with doing the Pa'ula of Levishas HaBeged and then becoming Potter later Midin Oynes. Masha'enkein by Kisei Adam, since we know that there's a Chiyuv to put Ofer Lamata and Ofer Lamala because it says V'chisohu Be'Ofer, so the actual Maisa of the Shechita, there's something wrong with when you don't have Ofer. So in that case, we don't apply the rule of the Marcha. The Marcha is talking about where right now the Pa'ula that I'm doing is perfectly fine, and it's just that it's going to put me into a Matziv where I'll be Mechuyiv and I won't be able to be Mekayim my Chiyuv. If the pa'ula that I'm doing has something wrong with it, which over here it does because the chiyuv is be'offer, you have to have offer lamata, so then we don't allow you to do the shechita.
You have been listening to the shiurim of Shas Illuminated. Shas Illuminated is a non-profit organization dedicated to broadening the learning of those studying the daf worldwide. If you would like to make a donation or to dedicate a daf or masechta, please visit our website at shasilluminated.org or call 203-312-SHAS. You can also email us at shasilluminated@gmail.com.